Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
Hey, look at that. We are live. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is In This League. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. Say hi, Scott.
Hello.
Hi. We're back for hour two. Well, we got a lot to talk about. We've got to talk about the cheating ass cheaters, because there's a lot of them.
Cheating ass cheaters
in the NFL. Lots of suspensions handed down over the last couple weeks. Probably
didn't
not
he get
the
suspended
only.
For a couple games? I'm pretty sure. Kinda just because Roger Goodell was like, you know what, you're just suspended.
Yeah, you said ass.
That's it.
You can't do that. You can't do that. That's not right.
That's not right.
A couple of them, well, I mean, one of them is not necessarily important to the fantasy spectrum unless you play IDP, but my 49ers with Reuben Foster, who is just a delight, by the way, just a delight in his early portion of the career with all the fun he is bringing, sentenced to 232 hours of community service, 2 years of probation, it was for a gun charge, that's fun. What was it? The NFL, he violated the conduct and substance abuse policy. I believe that had to do with the marijuana stuff. His girlfriend tried to ruin his career with other allegations. He is a treat.
What a sweetheart.
What a sweetheart. So glad that the Niners, brought him along. Not that they, the storied past of issues with the linebackers. Let's bring on this guy. IDP, how important was he from an IDP perspective?
You know what? I mean, not only the suspension, but the dude has an injury history as well. He did at Alabama. He did coming into the NFL.
Alabama, so man.
He's good. Like, he, you know, middle linebackers are what you want in IDP anyway. So he is a guy that is definitely draftable, and he racks up tackles like nobody's business. But you
and
know,
suspensions,
16, yeah,
and violations,
and suspensions, and injuries.
Well,
he racks
up
all
those
up.
Violations like nobody.
So you're probably, I would say, you're probably missing the two plus somewhere around three or four for injury already. So he gets dropped pretty good. I mean, if he was a guy that you can guarantee to play 16 games, he'd actually be going fairly high,
like one
but
of the top
because
ones?
Of the suspension. And with this dude, I mean, like you said, you know, I know the sarcasm and the delight and everything. He really is wild card bitches like Charlie. You know what I mean? Like, this dude could get suspended at the drop of a hat. No one would be shocked. So he drops, you know. He should be a very high pick, but, you know, people wait on him. So,
yeah. All right. So
not
the,
my guy.
The two bigger, Jamin Brown, also suspended with the Rams guard. But let's talk about the two offensive ones that have implications. First off, this one kind of came out of nowhere. And I liked it because Roto World had like two different blurbs. Their earlier blurb was kind of hyping up Aaron Jones with the Packers, being like, second year Aaron Jones has bulked up and getting better in the pass protection. Because, you know, that's the big stretch everyone's trying to figure out is what to do with the Packers backfield. If, by the way, if people want a little nugget, go check the full 60 fantasy football podcast that myself, Bogman, and Joe Pizzapia host. We had on Aaron Nagler, who is one of the, he covers the Packers, a long time coverage of the Packers. He's a fantastic guy. And we had him on and we talked about, you know, this backfield. So you get the Packers report, you know, he's bulked up, he's looking good, best shape of his life. And then it comes down that Aaron Jones has been suspended for two games for abuse of the league substance policy. And he apologized for it, did a whole thing. He'll be back for week three. But what that does is that immediately gives a huge head start to Jamal Williams, because Ty Montgomery is going to be a guy and he's going to get his run in that offense. But for Jamal Williams to have two games with this, he might be able to run away with the job. I mean, Bogman, haven't you always talked that, like, this team, they really want to hand it to a guy? They're not necessarily a committee type of a team. They want to hand it to someone, and Jamal Williams is going to get that opportunity now.
Well, you'd think they would, because – and this is why I've always liked Aaron Jones, because I feel like he's the most complete back that they have. I think that if you wanted to piece it together, you would go with Ty Montgomery as your third down type of back and Jamal Williams as your between-the-tackles banger type. But they also drafted Aaron Jones, and they used him a bunch last year, and his yards per carry was the highest of these guys. The other guys were averaging under 4, and Aaron Jones was over 5. So Aaron Jones has always been my guy for this team, but this hurts so much. And I know it's only 2 games, and anything can still happen in this backfield. I have a couple of shares of Aaron Jones and best balls, and I'm pissed that this happened, but it's not the worst thing in the world. They open up against the Bears, which is a great matchup, and it's a night game. I think that's the one of the first Monday night games. That's great. Or it's Sunday night because it's on NBC. And then their next game is against Minnesota. So that's a tough one.
Now, because what I wonder, and let's look at it from this perspective. I've kind of been a Jamal Williams guy going into the early season stuff. Best ball. Early mocks that we've done. We've done some mocks over at InThisLeague.com, some live mocks that you can listen to. And I've been in on Jamal Williams, but it's been more about the least investment. This is one of those teams that they're just not a great buy because we really, truly don't know. Like, Ty Montgomery is someone I bought into for PPR because, like, I think his role isn't really going to be reflective of Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. I think those two are a correlation to each other. So I've been buying a little bit more Jamal Williams, but now we're in a situation where, hands down, Jamal Williams is going to leap past Aaron Jones, and he has a decent chance to really kind of fall back. I'm starting to wonder, this is the bigger, broader question that I don't know if we're going to get an answer to, is Aaron Jones a guy that they are, when he comes back, they're going to throw it back at him, and now you're getting a steal of a deal? It's counterintuitive to, like, me taking Jamal Williams before and not knowing, but what you just said with them coming off that Vikings game, you got to wonder, if Jamal Williams struggles, they get Aaron Jones back the next week. Who is it against? The Bears is week 3?
Week 1 is the Bears. Week 3 is at the Redskins.
Okay, the Redskins. So you got to think and wonder, maybe they are going to throw that opportunity at Aaron Jones. So, like, what is the likelihood for you now, knowing the suspension is there, knowing Jamal Williams has the opportunity to take the job? Is Aaron Jones that much more talented than Jamal Williams? Or, like, is this the value of Aaron Jones? Or do we now have the guy that's going to get the role in Jamal Williams?
You know, it's a great question. I think if this is a 4-game suspension, I'm definitely out on Aaron Jones, right?
Yeah.
But it's only 2 games, and, you know, while the Packers should be pissed and he should be in the doghouse, I'm not going to sit here and say that, well, this is definitely – Jamal Williams is definitely the guy you want to draft now. He's the guy I would draft now if I had to pick one.
And you were drafting him before too, though.
Jamal Williams? I was drafting
Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, yeah.
Yeah. No, I would say if I had to pick one, I would pick Jamal Williams at this point. But I guess I come away not feeling too much different about this Packers running back by committee situation, because I do think even when Aaron Jones comes back, it's still going to be a mixture of these dudes.
Is it really going to be? I mean, we should look up the – I'm going to look up the numbers
here. It is.
What was it when they were both – playing last year? But because didn't they go with a predominant back in
it
each
was
game?
Jamal, well, they did, but all these guys got hurt. All of them got hurt. So Jamal Williams had the most Jamal Williams is the one guy that didn't get hurt. He played in 16 games. He started 7 of them. Aaron Jones started 4, and Ty Montgomery started the other 5. So there was a big mix of these guys. Jamal Williams had 153 carries. Aaron Jones had 81, and Ty Montgomery had 71. Jamal Williams also led this team in receptions. He had 25. But
I mean, I think Jamal Williams here, I'm looking from week 10
on. He had 1.5
on
per game, and Montgomery had 3 per game.
From week 10 on, Jamal Williams had 15 carries or more in every single game but week 15. And I don't know if that was a Ty Montgomery start or what that scenario. I don't have it in front of me.
I think Aaron Jones broke his foot, if I'm remembering correctly.
And he's also catching the ball, too. I'm looking here. Four catches, seven against Cleveland in week 14.
Yeah, I mean, that 7-1 was his big one because he had 25 for the entire season. And he caught more than anybody else, but he averaged 1.6 per game. Aaron Jones was under one. And the reason that I think Aaron Jones is more complete, but the reason he doesn't catch as many balls is because he's not that good in pass protection. And that's what they were talking about before the Welsh when they said he bulked up, he's ready for pass protection because he can catch the ball. He just couldn't get out there on third downs because they have Ty Montgomery, who's great at it, and Jamal Williams, who is he did pass pro at BYU. Aaron Jones didn't do too much of it at UTEP. So it's still messy. Like, this clears it up a bit. And like the Welsh said, I mean, I think the guy that you need to be in on is Jamal Williams at this point. Whereas yesterday or a couple days ago before the suspension, I would have been saying I'm still an Aaron Jones guy. But now I think it has to slide to Jamal Williams. But overall, I think it's still a situation that I'm trying not to buy in on if I can avoid it.
I think it's fluid. It's just you can tell when you look at game logs that, you know, they had Ty Montgomery for the first 3 weeks with Jamal Williams as the backup. Then Aaron Jones takes over in week 4 through week 7. He's out in week 8 and then barely really ever comes back after week 9. And Jamal Williams takes over in week 10. And all of those guys found some success. And Aaron Jones had two big games against Dallas and against New Orleans. That was about it. Jamal Williams, the consistency to me is really interesting, plus the catches. It makes me, when I look at this, it makes me feel like if Jamal Williams finds that success, he might be he could be a draft steal because of his cost right now. I'm trying to see. In PPR,
I own so many Jamal Williams shares in CFF. He's a lot of fun to watch because when he played at BYU, he was like all they had offensively.
40th running back. Currently, Fantasy Pros Edge is going to adjust, but he is currently the 40th running back being taken amongst these guys. And the guys that are going ahead of him, I mean, there's some legit names in here, obviously. Crowell, but Kerryon Johnson, Marlon Mack, Marshawn Lynch. You got some PPR guys, obviously, like Duke Johnson or Rex Burkhead. I think the return, there's a possible top 25 return.
That's a good one. How about if you're drafting right now, Welsh, are you going with Marshawn Lynch or are you going with Jamal Williams?
In PPR?
In PPR.
I'm going Jamal Williams. I'm not in on Marshawn Lynch. I'm not interested. They brought in Doug
Baldwin.
Is
it more about Marshawn Lynch or is it more about Jamal Williams?
It's more about Marshawn Lynch. Okay. Than it is anything. Like, I know Marshawn Lynch is going to get those goal line carries. I know he's going to get some touchdowns. I don't know how effective a Raiders offense is going to be this year. Plus, Doug Martin is there. You know, tout Doug Martin as some, like, you know, stealer of carries, but he's a guy that they brought in for an obvious reason to probably be able to balance those two guys. So I'm going to go Jamal Williams because I do think that I'm kind of buying in. Maybe I'm talking myself more into it. I think Jamal Williams is going to be one of those late steals. Now, all this is said, the Packers, one thing that shouldn't be discounted here is the Packers showed an inability to stay with one player. They had three different running backs be the predominant guys for the season. And like I said before, I don't see so much of a committee that's going on because when Jamal Williams had 21 carries in week 13, Aaron Jones had one carry. In week 14, Jamal Williams had 15 carries. Aaron Jones had four carries.
He was coming off an ACL sprain. Aaron Jones was late in the season. But it's funny because I'm scrolling back through Roto World stuff. Ty Montgomery had the rib injury, and then he had the concussion against the Bears. Remember the cheap shot?
Yeah.
And then that was Davante Adams with the cheap shot. But he had the rib injury, and he missed games. And then he had the sprained knee for Aaron Jones. But I'm going through and I'm looking back at this, and this is, you know, Mike McCarthy said Aaron Jones has earned more opportunities. That was October 10th last year. And then another one of these is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel believes the Packers need to commit to Aaron Jones as their lead back with Aaron Rodgers out. You know what I mean? And that's a big factor, too, is, you know, Aaron Rodgers needs to, I mean, he'll be the deciding factor in this, right?
Yeah.
If he says, look, I don't want Aaron Jones in there because he can't protect me and I'm not going to spend another year with a busted collarbone, then Aaron Jones is on the outs. You know what I mean?
Let me throw this to you.
Go ahead.
I just kind of came up with an idea that I'm liking here. And people could have been doing this before, but I think the spacing is beneficial here. Aaron Jones seems to have a lot of the pub. I do kind of wonder, is Aaron Jones the backup quarterback? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Backup quarterback is the most popular guy in town. But regardless of that, what about the idea that now Jamal Williams jumps, Aaron Jones falls back probably even further because of the two games, and you double tap on these guys? You're not drafting them as a running back, probably not even drafting them as a running back three, to be honest with you. If you've got a close to back end pick, and you know, if he's going around running back 40, I don't know what the overall is. We should look at what the overall is.
You know, I don't want to double tap this situation.
Really?
I just don't.
I'm all in on double tapping this situation because I think whoever has the job is going to be the predominant player. The question is just the exact guy. And if I have both of them, I'm not worried about them stealing from each other.
I don't want to waste two roster spots for a position that could wind up going to Ty Montgomery. You know what I mean? Like if Aaron Jones blew out his knee and he is done for the year, I feel like I know what's going to happen. This is going to be like the Cleveland situation. This is going to be like the Washington situation, and you have two guys, but it's just not going to be that way.
We're right around 100. Aaron Jones is 101 and Jamal Williams is 103 on Fantasy Pros. Those are going to adjust, but the cost is so cheap. Maybe two picks buy you an RB2 in a league. It's just a thought. All right. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more. We got to talk about the other suspension, sexy Julian Edelman, and much more. So don't go anywhere. This is In This League. We'll be back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. Welcome back. In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Heard on the network, heard on the app, heard on iTunes, heard on TuneIn, heard on all the places. Pretty much.
And things.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not really heard nationally.
Wherever you want to go, you can hear Bogman and the Welsh.
How good is that? Is that a good thing?
I think even your nightmares.
Yeah. Like, it used to be a good thing. I mean, we're a lot of places. Though I will say, a little toot our own horn. I think we do a good job at separating everything that we do. So we're not regurgitating. A little bit of regurgitation, you know, post-4th of July. Sometimes you got a little bit of that.
I mean, sometimes we make such a great point in something. You know what I mean? We want people here to hear it.
More than sometimes, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, Great points, Jamal. I mean, who else can talk about Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones for an entire segment?
I mean, I feel like there's more that could be said about that too. So, I mean, but who the hell wants to hear more about Aaron Jones? Let's draft Jamal Williams and
Aaron Jones later.
And PPR Ty Montgomery. Like I was saying during the break.
I like Jamal Williams in PPR though too because the guy catches. Ty Montgomery to me is like a Duke Johnson type of guy, maybe a little bit less, but I think Jamal Williams,
Montgomery averaged 3 catches per game. I mean, Jamal Williams had that one big one with 7, and even with that one, he averaged, I believe it was under 2
receptions. Okay, no, but that's those numbers are skewed because the first 9 games he was a backup. He had 2 or 3 carries a game. From week 10 on, I think I was doing the math, he averaged about 3.
I think Aaron Jones' numbers are more skewed because he's not out there in pass protection year one.
Well, Jamal Williams, though, from week 10 on, averaged about 3 catches a game as a starter. So, I mean,
that's with that one big giant one, though, where he caught 7.
No, he had four. He had a 3. He had a 1. He had a 0. It was
also because Deshaun Kizer was his quarterback.
Okay,
don't
well, I mean,
about
but,
that.
Okay,
you
but
lot,
you build up. All I'm saying is, you're building up all the different excuses. The guy caught passes once
not
he was the starter.
I like all these guys. I'm not building excuses.
Well, no, I'm just saying you can't look and be like, well, he only averaged like two catches a game. It's because
what
the first
I can
9
tell
weeks,
you is
he
won't average more than two a game this year. I can almost
if
guarantee
he's the
you
starter.
That. Even if he's a starter, I would still say that with Ty Montgomery out there, he's going to be the guy on third downs catching the ball. Aaron Jones is going to get mixed in, and they added Jimmy Graham. You know that they've got a lot of targets on this team. I just, to be honest, these are all great points to make, but I guarantee you, I'm going to be close to, outside of best ball. I'm going to be close to a zero shares of this backfield guy. So,
well, I mean,
if,
that's
if
usually
I
the way to
one
go,
of them,
though.
It is Jamal Williams.
Yeah, I mean, so. That's usually the way to go. Like, we actually should calculate, like, how many backfields are we out on?
So many. And that's why I keep, you know, on full 60, we always have first, second, and third down at the beginning of the show. And almost exclusively, mine is mentioning some backfield situation and why you don't want to invest in it.
Okay, let's do this
because
real
it's
quick.
Terrible.
Let's do this. AFC East, Bills we're okay with.
Yes.
Patriots, are you in or out?
I'm.
I feel like we're in because Sonny Michel and Rex Burkhead are kind of fun to own.
Yeah, I'm absolutely out on James White. And last year,
well,
I was.
Well, that's fine.
Big
but I'm talking
on,
backfield. All
okay,
backfield.
Fine,
so
fine. Then I'm in on Michel a little bit.
Okay. Jets, you're in. Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm in on Crow. Yes.
Dolphins, I feel like we might be out.
I'm all the way out on okay. Dolphins.
All the way out.
Frank Gore is definitely going to be okay. I think he's going to take so many carries away in that backfield that you have to be out of it.
All right. AFC North, Baltimore Ravens.
I like you're Collins. In. Yeah, I'm in.
Bengals.
I like Joe. These are fine. Okay. You know what? If there's one you have to be out on, I think it's Cleveland.
Now, see, that's funny. About I was just about to say Cleveland has all the makings of a backfield that you want to be out on. But I'm all in on Chubb and Duke Johnson.
Yeah,
I'm out
and
on
I'm
Carlos
just,
Hyde.
I'm just not like I Duke Johnson for his role. Like we know what it's going to be. But if I had to pick one, I'm still saying.
Okay,
Carlos
so
Hyde.
Far we're only out on one backfield right now.
Right,
Steelers are normal. All right, AFC South, Houston Texans out.
Just out.
Okay, we're both out. Colts.
No.
I want to say that I'm in because I like Marlon Mack. I'm starting to be out because of the 99s and Jordan Wilkins. I'm gonna go with an out here. Jags, we're in. Titans, we are out.
Out all the way.
AFC South, we are out on three of the four backfields. All right. AFC West here, Broncos.
No. Out.
It's kind of, well, that is a tough one. I'm going
to
be out.
If I had to pick one, like, there's guys I would pick in each of these situations if I had to pick one right now.
But overall, you want to be out. Okay.
I would take Freeman right now. I don't trust Booker, even though he's getting a little bit of a pub. I think he's had 2 years to do it, and he hasn't.
So are you out or in? Okay.
I'm out. If I had to pick one, it'd be Freeman.
All right, so how many are we out on right now? Is that four?
A lot, most of them.
Four or five. Yeah. Okay. Four or five in the AFC right now.
Right.
We're in on the Chiefs. We're in on the Chargers. I'm out on the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't want any part of the Raiders either.
Okay, so that's like
that's about
six. Okay, let's call it six. NFC, Cowboys were in, Giants were in, Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm in on Ajayi.
I'm kind of in on Ajayi. Okay, Redskins, I think we're both in. Geis, and I'm a big Chris Thompson guy. NFC North, Chicago Bears, a little bit dicey, but I think we're both still in there.
Howard, it's still Howard.
Lions, you want to be out on. Regardless, no if you way. Like Kerryon Johnson, you got to be out on the Lions' backfield.
Right. I mean, if you can take Kerryon, and I'm not that upset about it, but you can't be surprised when LeGarrette Blount wins that job.
No.
You can't be surprised with Theo Riddick getting every single catch. So
that's seven. We're out on seven backfields now.
Yeah.
Green Bay
okay.
Packers, designated
no.
out.
Eight.
Okay, so that's eight out. Eight, and then the Vikings we're good with. NFC South, the Falcons, we're in. The Panthers were in. The Saints were in. How about the Bucks? I'm in still, but it is a little bit I feel like Peyton Barber is just a smokescreen on Ronald Jones more than it's a situation, if you know what I mean.
Right. I mean, I guess we have to say in because we just keep taking Ronald Jones in all of our drafts.
Yeah,
so,
all right.
We're in on Jones.
All right. And then The NFC West, the final division, we're in on the Niners, we're in on the Rams, we're in on the Cardinals. Great division of running backs. The Seahawks are the one messy-ish one, but I think we're still in on Penny over Carson or any of the other guys.
Yeah, I would say I'm in on Penny, but that is...
That's eight.
That's eight, so that leaves you with 24 running backs that you want or 24 running back situations that you're comfortable in taking, and that's two per team. In a 12-man standard.
You've got to
get those guys early.
It would be interesting putting together like a running back, because we do ranks. We actually just released our ranks over on our Insider program, which is patreon.com/ITL Army. Very good for the hardcore fantasy football fan, fantasy baseball or basketball fan as well, because a lot of hardcore fantasy guys are in there. We've got the chat rooms, and then, or it's not really a chat room, but it's the GroupMe rooms. But we also released our ranks, which they're not anywhere else right now. And we did PPR and standard. It would be interesting to take the ranks and completely take out the running backs that we're out on. You know, we just picked eight running back situations, completely negate them and look at how your running back situation is. And then what that does is that starts to, I think, show you more, especially if you attach ADP to it, how important when and where to take running backs are. You know what I mean? Like, because you're going to see a list that looks like this. First two rounds, all the backs stay around. But then those middle rounds, we're going to start taking off Deion Lewis, Derrick Henry. You know, we're going to start taking these players away, and you're going to see, wow, rounds 1 through 3.5 are strong. What the hell happened to 4 and 5 and 8? What happened to those rounds in there? And it's going to, I think it would help train just a little bit more on when and where to take those guys.
And we just did a mock where I had picked 7, and the Welsh basically had to beg me, because it's not a strategy I'll probably ever use. But he said, just go with, you know, wide receivers first and see what your team pans out as.
Content, and man, content.
I am incredibly uncomfortable. My wide receivers are amazing.
Yeah, who did you have again? Yeah, they're really good.
I wound up with DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, and Doug Baldwin as my top three wide receivers, which is
pretty good.
Awesome. But my starting running backs were Sony Michel and Alex Collins. And it just makes me uncomfortable.
But those are two running backs that we did not put on the out list. You know what I mean? You didn't go get Deion Lewis. You didn't do a situation like that. You took a couple running backs that don't live in that world.
But if I could have had two stud running backs and started out with Alshon Jeffrey, like if I could have wound up with like Cooks, Jarvis Landry, and, you know, whoever else, Robbie Anderson, I would have felt way more comfortable with my two running backs being, you know, whatever, Saquon Barkley and...
What was my team in there? Because I went three straight running backs. I had... Who the hell did I have, dude? Do you even remember?
I don't remember.
I think I had the first pick.
I had Bell,
Jerick McKinnon, and Joe Mixon. That's what it was. And then my first receivers, I think I had Golden Tate and I don't remember. It wasn't like a Brandon Cooks, but it was like, I mean, there were two good receivers, like Golden Tate and Alshon Jeffrey, something like that. Or Golden Tate and Demaryius Thomas. I think that's what it was. Like that is a much better way to go than obviously that wide receiver situation. But taking away those situations you want no part of, it really kind of gleans the issue that's out there. Because I do think that, like, we're part of the maybe a little bit of this problem. There is an overwhelming sense that, like, you've got to take running backs early, which has a lot of people wanting to zig because we are zagging, and I totally understand that. But I don't think it's, like, it needs to be taken like, oh, this is a talking point. Go get those great running back or go get those great wide receivers, because then running backs will fall. It's just not the case. Like, running backs will fall, but they're not running backs that you want. Like, I can't stress enough that, yes, if everyone's doing this, it's a problem, but I've got to do it. I'm not going to take Jerick McKinnon over Michael Thomas just because I have to get a running back, you know, if it's falling like that. I'm going to be smart about it. But you should go in thinking, I'm getting two running backs in the early rounds, unless you are super, super comfortable having a team that's got Duke Johnson, Tariq Cohen, and then you buy a couple lottery tickets, and you might have to dip into running backs that you don't want to.
That's why we spend so much time talking about a situation we say that we're out of. You still have to pick a guy out of each of these situations and go, like, look, if I'm putting money down, because at some point these guys are going to fall. That's why I own Aaron Jones, because he just keeps tumbling and tumbling and tumbling in these drafts. So because everyone else is picking Jamal Williams or Ty Montgomery.
I got an interesting experiment.
Especially in PPR. But real quick, let me just finish this point, is the situations that you're out of, you have to decide if you like Deion Lewis or Derrick Henry. Because if there's a possibility that Derrick Henry falls and you say, man, I really don't want him, but it's the sixth round and no one has picked Derrick Henry, like, I feel like I have to take him here. You got to know what you're getting into. And Derrick Henry's still a good back, but he's going to split carries with Deion Lewis. But if something, you know, something happens to Deion Lewis, or he doesn't make it, or Henry just looks great, the guy could run away with the job, and no one would be that surprised by it.
Well, I think he's super talented. No. I think he's super, super talented. Let's do this real quick. Let's see what wide receiver situations we're out on. Now, you have to look at it beyond just the top
guy. You
got to
be top three.
Yeah, really. You got to look at the top three, and it's got to be a situation where there's not a clear-cut type of thing. You know what I mean? So, like, Seahawks don't count because it's Doug Baldwin. Like, Doug Baldwin is the primary guy. So we're going to be in on the Seahawks because of Doug Baldwin. It's situations that muddy. I do think the Cardinals could kind of float that, but it's still Larry Fitzgerald. So looking at the NFC West, we're in on both of those. This is going to be a tough one, but the Los Angeles Rams. You are a huge Brandon Cooks guy, but I don't think Robert Woods is done, and they've got Cooper Kupp. They have got three legit straight up wide receivers. Are you comfortable drafting them all, or is there a worry?
I think I'm comfortable as far as I know where I would take all those guys. So
you're in on them.
I'm in on them.
I'm more in on Robert Woods than I was in previous weeks. So I will say I'm in, because I think those two guys are primary. They don't take away from each other. Garcon and Goodwin in San Francisco, their third wide receiver actually doesn't really matter, which actually makes the situation better.
I'm comfortable taking both those guys. Yep.
All right. NFC South, the Falcons situation. Sanu, Jones, Calvin Ridley. Any outs?
Nope.
All right. Here's one for you. Devin Funchess, DJ Moore, Torrey Smith in Carolina. I know this is going to be tough for you, but guess what? I think I'm out. I'm out on this situation.
And I don't blame you at all. I don't blame you at all for being out on that situation, because that is a weird one. You know, Devin Funchess had his best year of his career, and, you know, that was because they didn't have anybody else to throw the ball to outside of it was him and McCaffrey, and that was it. So I love DJ Moore.
Yeah, I know you love DJ Moore.
Him in a lot of spots.
But remember, it's about the core, you know, and also the quarterback.
And comfortability. I'm out on Devin Funchess. I don't think I'll own him anywhere.
Okay. But remember, the passing offense is something I want to consider all factors, how they run, how they pass, and the names that are around there. You're comfortable enough that DJ Moore, because the others are bad, is going to be a dude?
He's my guy. Okay. By a lot.
New Orleans Saints, you got Michael Thomas, Cameron Meredith, the late guy, Ted Ginn, there's an in, right?
Yep.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Evans, and then...
Let me throw something out to you. What about being out on this situation? Mike Evans dropping for a lot of people, losing Winston. There's the rumors of Ryan Griffin being there. DeShaun Jackson, kind of meh. Chris Godwin is out there. I'm in on Mike Evans individually, but there's almost an element of being out on this core.
You know, I'm more in on the tight ends, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. Are we saying we're out?
No. I see, this is the thing, is like, I'm still comfortable taking these guys where I think they should go. I'm not comfortable in taking some of those running back situations at where they're going, and that's where I'm out. I won't own any Titans running backs this year, most likely, because they're both going high. Like, if DeSean Jackson slips ridiculously far, if I can snap up Chris Godwin at the end of a draft, like, I'm comfortable doing those things. I'm not comfortable taking those running back situations that could completely fall off. If I take Chris Godwin and he's worthless, who cares? You know
there,
what I
it's
mean?
An interesting thing, because it doesn't work the same running backs to wide receivers, and that's kind of the point that we're going to make here. There's nobody in the NFC North we would be out on. Real quick, and we'll do the AFC on the other side. There are a couple in the NFC East that I think are interesting. The Cowboys situation, Hearns intrinsically is interesting because he could be a number one, but I think there's
love
a lot
his draft
of question
value
marks.
Right now.
Yeah, I would love his draft value. The Redskins, to me, could be one of the biggest prime question marks of a team, even though like I can get in on Crowder and I can get in on Richardson. If you think about what we're asking here, if you think about the situations that muddy themselves, is this a situation that you would be out on that's not a target? Maybe it is. Think about that for the other side of the break. Maybe we don't have a single NFC team that we're out on. Maybe we won't have any AFCs. But again, it shows the differences in maybe your drafting habits for running backs and wide receivers. So don't go anywhere. We got to talk about Julian. We got to talk more about the outs. And we'll be right back. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In This League.
What's this?
In This League.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
Welcome back. It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports, but you're sick with dealing with professionals using them damn algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, that is super, super annoying. Well, guess what? Try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches. Avoid experts winning 90% of the money. I'm all about money, but I don't like losing it. Invest in the players. Cream. Cash rules everything around me. So invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches. No experts to compete against. Just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY on signup, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. All right, so on
do
the
it.
Break. Oh.
Do it. Do
oh,
it.
Do it. All right. On the break, we were talking about this NFC setup. Every single team, there's not enough for us to have said we're out on, except the conversation of the Redskins. It's tough because I'm out on Josh Doctson, completely out. Jamison Crowder has not lived up to the hype. Paul Richardson is an unknown, big, deep threat. The Redskins also have Chris Thompson, who is theoretically the number one receiver on this team, and they've got Jordan Reed. Are there too many mouths to feed where this is a situation that you're not going to rely on? It's okay. And again, prefacing this again, we're talking about team situations that we're out on. We already did running backs. What running back teams are we out on? And we were out on 8 running back teams. We're now looking at receivers. And it's not to say that you would not necessarily draft a single guy. But when you're talking about guys that you want to own, you're constructing your team around, is this wide receiver situation with Washington one that you are comfortable taking a risk on, taking your valuable drafting for? Is Jamison Crowder, Josh Doctson, and Paul Richardson one that you just say, you know what, I think I might be out on because there are way too many question marks and other players around them right now in Geis, Thompson, and Reed that muddies it?
No, I'm actually in on this situation. I think that
you think someone's going to shine.
I do. I think two guys are going to be good. I think I'm out on Doctson. I'm over it.
Like so over
sure,
it.
He was a first round pick. Whatever. The guy just can he make it work this year? This is the third year. A lot of wide receivers take that step this season. He can. Like I'm not going to sit here and say that he's talentless and all that stuff, but he just hasn't made it work. So I'm not in on him. I'm in on Paul Richardson, who has gone to Seattle, where there's, you know, there are great targets in Seattle. They had Jimmy Graham, they had Richardson, they had Lockett last season. Of course, he was coming off an injury, but he forced his way into that lineup. And I think he's in a situation now where he doesn't have to force his way in the lineup. He's one of the most talented guys on that team. You know, Jordan Reed is constantly hurt. Jameson Crowder is an underperformer. I think he might be a post-hype sleeper this year.
I mean, he's a safety net at this point. Well, I mean, Chris Thompson, I think, is going to play. Chris Thompson is going to be the Tyreek Hill to Alex Smith from last year. He's going to be the Swiss Army knife. But Crowder is going to be their possession receiver, and Paul Richardson is their big play guy. I mean, they have the formula of players.
Right, exactly. Okay. So I know who I want on the Redskins and who I'm out of. So for that, I'm comfortable with this situation.
Okay.
So
I mean, I built that all up. Essentially what you said, I'm in. I'm very much in on Chris Thompson. I am drafting Crowder and Paul Richardson in different spots. I do think this is the one team in the NFC that does have the question marks or the makings of a situation that eats itself alive. But let's go look at the AFC. AFC West. The Denver Broncos, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders were good, right?
Good. I even like their backups.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton, all that. Kansas City, you've got Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins. I'm becoming a bigger Sammy Watkins fan, and Tyreek Hill is there with a big arm. We're both in.
Yes.
All right. Easily in on the Chargers, but maybe more so as our number two is their fourth wide receiver on the depth chart, Mike Williams, we think could be the number two there. And
I think he'll wind up being the two.
And nothing takes away from Keenan Allen. And then the Oakland Raiders. You got Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson, and Martavis Bryant. I think this is one that...
I'm kind of out, too.
Okay, good. Let's say we're out on it. Even though I think we both agree we would take Amari Cooper here, I want to be out.
Fell, yeah.
Because those other two could eat away at this. They could also be absolute garbage.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm more out on Derek Carr. Especially in our quarterbacks facts episode for in this league that we dropped yesterday, seeing some more of those advanced stats about Derek Carr as well. I think I'm out more on Derek Carr, and because of that, I'm out on this receiving situation.
Okay, so there we go. We got our first one. We're out on the Raiders. AFC South, Houston Texans, we're fine because it's the DeAndre Hopkins show.
Yep.
Indianapolis Colts, all they got is T.Y. Hilton.
Yes, and I'm still, you know what, because of that, I'm okay drafting T.Y. Hilton. I think that, especially because people are still out on T.Y. Hilton because they drafted him so high last year. Andrew Luck wasn't there, and his numbers were not as good as where you drafted him. But I think it's almost an overcorrection, and we've talked about that many, many times. The dude is still good for, you know, 70 catches, 900 yards, and like 5 touchdowns. And that's a pretty good floor.
There's just no one. So. Chester Rogers, Ryan Grant. Now, here's an interesting one. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Marquise Lee becomes the number one. D.D. Westbrook was kind of, he was an exciting guy last year. They bring in Dante Moncrief. They've got Keelan Cole, Rashad Green. I think that the cost of these guys is very nice. And I think it's tough. Because you're going to be taking Marquise Lee as like a wide receiver 4 or 5. D.D. Westbrook and Moncrief could go as a 6. If they were any higher, almost like the Redskins, I would be a little bit concerned. But their cost is so low. These are just dartboard throws. I think this has the makings of exactly what we're talking about to be out on. But because of the cost, I don't think you can say you're out on any of these guys whatsoever. Just because none of these guys are going to be drafted as a starter.
Right. I mean, the highest one as far as PPR ranks go is Marquise Lee at 48. That's your last wide receiver 4.
Yeah.
So he's on that wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5 borderline anyway. D.D. Westbrook's at 61. Moncrief's at 67. Keelan Cole's at 77, and he could wind up being basically their number one.
Don't do that to Marquise Lee.
Well, I mean, look – if I'm picking a guy, it's Marquise Lee.
Okay.
But
yeah, we agree with
I think
that.
The rest is such trash and it's so confusing outside of Moncrief, Westbrook, and Cole. I think if I'm picking one, I'm picking Cole.
Now,
so.
This is going to be a very big test here. The Tennessee Titans, Corey Davis, Rashad Matthews. They've also
what are you
got
talking
Taewon
about?
Taylor.
I'm in.
I almost wanted to say I might be out and like I'd have to look internally into myself because I'm kind of in on Mariota. I guess I can't be out on the wide receivers because I'd be like, well, why am I in on Mariota if I'm out on everything with this team? I just worry a little bit of multiple people with their hands in the cookie jar. Two running backs. Deion Lewis is going to catch the ball. Delanie Walker actually might be the number one wide receiver on this team as
well.
A
listen
whole.
To how in you are after I tell you this.
All right.
That Rishard Matthews is going one spot ahead of Marquise.
No. And that's the point right there. I'm out on Corey Davis, I think, but I'm in on Rishard Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, Rishard Matthews is going next to Kenny Still, Sterling Shepard, Marquise Lee, and Allen Hurns. And I love Matthews and Hurns in those situations way more than I love those
other
guys.
I'm almost out. I'm just reiterating. I'm almost out on the Titans, but Rishard Matthews is the one that saves it.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Davis is going at 31. I don't think that's horrible. Mm. I think the dude's super talented. I mean, he's going
around. Who are the guys around him, though?
Robert Woods. I'm going Corey Davis easy. For me, because I like Cooks. So
the only reason Corey Davis on that one is because he's a one, but I actually won't be surprised if Robert Woods beats him. I think Robert Woods is going to be a little bit sneaky. All right, who are some other
Pierre Garçon?
Garçon easy.
Chris Hogan.
Davis.
Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins easy. Are these under him
easy.
Or over?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, easy.
I'm taking Corey Davis over Watkins.
Are these above him or
these
under
are
him?
Right above him. Funches is above him.
Oh, a noose.
I'm going to get Corey.
I'll
Davis
go Corey easy. Davis.
Guys below him. Yeah. Woods is one below him. Emmanuel Sanders.
I'll take Manny.
And this is why I'm out on Woods. Cup is right below.
Yeah,
Woods
that.
And Cup in PPR are separated by two spots.
Well, but I think that's the Eddie Lacy.
Well, people are picking. You know, they're picking it if they like Cup or if they like
yeah,
Woods.
Yeah, it's the Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls situation last year. They just don't know
right.
where they're at on it. So, okay, yeah, I mean, I just, like, he's not a target of mine. If push came to shove, I could see where I would draft him, but I don't really want to be in on him. I like Rishard Matthews way, way better. So, okay, so still only one official team that we are out on for wide receivers. AFC North. Baltimore Ravens, Michael Crabtree, John Brown, Willie Snead, a brand new wide receiver core for Joe Flacco.
I love Crabtree, and I think he's going to be targeted a bunch because they should be down a bunch. So
yeah, I'm actually like John Brown doesn't mean much to me here. I think Willie Snead could be more of a guy. Cincinnati Bengals, you've only got AJ Green. The quarterback play is atrocious. They've got their two running backs. I could see where you could say you're out on this. But I don't think you can be because A.J. Green is still predominantly the guy. And I think Tyler Boyd is going to take a step up. Yeah. So this is we're still in.
I mean, right? Look, Tyler Eifert is if he could play 16 games, he would be up in that Travis Kelce area. He'll play 8 games at best. So you just can't rely on
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
He's
noticed,
worse than Jordan Reed as far as injuries go.
I noticed when we were putting up our ranks where you had Tyler Eifert as your tight end. And I was like, well, you're just disrespectful.
No, I mean, that's where he should go. So and he's only going to play. I wouldn't bet on anything more than 5 games.
Does he play week 1?
I doubt it.
You doubt he plays week 1?
He still hasn't practiced, dude.
Well, they're not practicing.
Yeah, he hasn't put on pads at all. Like, I'm out. I'm all the way out.
You mean him on short? Okay. What if he does? If he plays week 1. I see no reason
so
why
what?
You can't
he won't play
assume.
Week 6.
Okay, but no,
doesn't
but see,
matter.
That's the difference between us. I have to assume there's the chance that he could play 16 weeks.
Why? He never has.
Okay, but you're drafting him. I mean, if he's going as like the 8th tight end, like screw off with that mess. But you can get him like not as a top 12 tight end. And if that's the case, I don't see why. Like, who cares? Take the risk on taking him because he, like you just said, he's got the upside to be a Travis Kelce on return, but he's going as the last tight end in a draft. Why not?
You cut him and you pick up George Kittle. Do you think he's going to be close to the 2 games he played last year or the 8 games he played the year before? He played 13 games in 2015 and 1 in 2014.
Did he ever play 16?
One effing game, the Welsh. One.
Has he played 16 games in his career?
No.
Total?
He played 15 his rookie year.
No, I mean,
and
total.
He had 440. He has 39 games in 5 seasons.
He's played 2.5 years in 3 and 5
He's played
seasons.
Less than 50% of the games in his career.
All right. Well, this is the year, Bachman. That's
this is
I
the year.
Myself.
Right.
This
yeah.
is it. This
Give
is
me
the
an
one.
Effing break, dude.
All right. Browns. There's an interesting one. They have got all the pass catchers, and they've got a quarterback that is not fully in. I feel from you that you're out on this situation, but I don't think we can be because Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon's talent is so immense. But that's this borders being out.
I have to say I'm still in because Baker takes over the situation, right? And all of these guys' value shoots through the roof because he's such an accurate guy and he's going to pass so much more than a guy like Tyrod Taylor is. So, and these guys are set up for future years. So I'm definitely in Dynasty. For this season, I think that Landry might be being slightly overdrafted. And I'm out on Josh Gordon because of Baker.
This could almost feel like if Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry were both better players in that situation at running back, that's almost like what this wide receiver situation would be like. Landry and Gordon are so talented. You also throw in Duke Johnson, who's essentially a slot receiver. Duke Johnson could lead this team in receptions.
But, I mean, Landry will, but...
Yeah, no, I know he will, but I'm just saying... Regardless of all of that, the ball is still going to be passed around, and these guys are still going to get theirs. It's showing the fluidity of these two positions that we're talking about. Steelers, we're in. No worries. Final one, NFC East, Buffalo AFC. Bills. AFC East, all out on the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, these situations are ugly.
Don't even care about the values. Out.
No Kelvin Benjamin falling for you as a number one?
I mean,
with the more traditional passer a little bit?
I know, I'm just saying, again, like trying to pick apart this conversation a little bit. We're both out on the Raiders, but we would both take Amari Cooper. Yeah, I would take Kelvin Benjamin, but for all intents and purposes, I'm out on the Bills.
Take Kelvin Benjamin or Jordy Nelson? They're going next to each other. I feel like that's a good one.
I might take Jordy.
I don't blame you for picking either one.
Where, so, that's like a wide receiver three, right?
Yeah. Wide receiver four, actually.
I'll go Jordy all day.
All day? Yeah, I get that. Like, I like Kelvin Benjamin, but he's gone through a bunch of knee injuries and stuff, and he winds up in Buffalo, and they just...
Their quarterback situation is so bad.
Yeah, I think you have to say you're out.
All right, Dolphins. We're in because we love Devontae Parker. Kenny Stills is
the guy.
He's
going by Jordy and Kelvin Benjamin. He's going at 40.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though, I'm not going to argue anybody that says they're out on this situation because Amendola, Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, none are necessarily as great, and you've got Tannehill at quarterback. Wouldn't blame anyone for being out, but I'm going to stay in because of Parker.
I'm all in on Parker, so you have to say you're
okay.
In on that.
New York Jets, Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse, Quincy Enunwa. I am out. And I know you like Robbie Anderson, and I know this almost falls along the lines of who was the one we just talked about with the Jacksonville Jaguars? The cost is so low. I got to tell you, though, I'm just out on the Jets
wide
receiver.
And I don't blame anyone. And I mentioned this on Full 60. Like, if Chad Hansen wound up being the number one wide receiver for this team, I wouldn't be that surprised.
Yeah, dude, look at the bottom of the draft. It could be Ardarius Stewart, Chad Hansen, and Andre Roberts could be the only three receivers on this team. And right now, the starters are Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse, Quincy Enunwa, and they've got Terrell Pryor. They've got so many cooks in that kitchen.
They have so many wide receiver 3.5s. It's unbelievable. So
that's fine.
I wouldn't be surprised if any of them wind up leading this team. It's whoever's going to work best with Sam Darnold.
All right.
And I think if I have to pick, it's Robbie Anderson. But I'll say I'm kind of out. Like I'll have some Robbie Anderson shares because I would take him over Cup. I would take him over Cobb. And
so we're out on the Jets. We're out on the Bills. We're out on the Raiders. There's one left.
I'm out.
Okay,
all the way.
And it takes us to the next hour because we do want to talk about one of these guys. It's a transition, but it's the New England Patriots. Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, Malcolm Mitchell, Kenny Britt. I have a place for Julian Edelman, but guess what? I'm not going to disagree with you, Bogman.
Patriots wide receivers are the autoerotic asphyxiation of the NFL.
We got to be out. So guess what? Four total teams I think we're out on as far as wide receivers go in the AFC or in AFC and NFC. Three of them are in the AFC East. So we'll talk about the Patriots and Julian Edelman coming back, but that's how many more wide receiver cores we're out on than we are running back. So don't go anywhere. It's hour 3 of In This League.
We'll be back.